This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
Good evening. Good evening. And let's talk about it with Jenny White tonight. We are going to talk about domestic violence during the COVID-19 pandemic. And before I go any further, I'm going to call out my co-host. I'm sorry. Mr. Coleman, I'm sorry I called you a guest. But you could be a guest if you like.
Hey, Jenny White, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. TGIF, another TGIF.
I know that's right. So tonight we're going to be discussing domestic violence during this COVID-19 pandemic. It seems to be getting out of hand, and I don't want my listeners to think that it's only women that get, you know, problems. Men are sometimes the women get on the men too. Maybe not as much, but there are men that are still, you know, victims of domestic violence. You can't make decisions for others, but you can make sure that they have your support. And that's very important. An intimate partner, a more inclusive term than domestic violence, is a form of abuse aimed at gaining power or control over another person. It can include physical, sexual, and emotional or financial abuse, or a combination of all of the above. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, approximately 1 in 4 women in the United States have experienced physical intimate partner violence. Now, they didn't give me the numbers for men, but I do want to repeat that there are men who are abused. Now, the UN Women has referred to violence against women during COVID-19 as the shadow pandemic, lurking in the background as healthcare systems are drained and shelters are at capacity. So we know if they're at capacity. It's a lot of it going on. I don't know why it's specifically going on during this epidemic, but I don't, I guess just being in the house and can't go out, I don't know. During a period when everyone is struggling to adjust to the rapid changes due to COVID-19, it's critical that we learn more about intimate partner violence, its red flags, and how to support survivors. Some of the warning signs of abuse is withdrawing from others and making excuses not to see friends or family or do activities they once enjoyed. And I don't think that anybody will be trying to do that in this particular time, because from what they're saying, there's another strain and it's rising. And Michigan has a whole lot of people that have that other strain. And the hospitals are beginning to fill up again. So we have to do something During a period when everyone is struggling to adjust to the rapid changes due to COVID-19, it's critical that we learn more about intimate partner violence. Okay. And making excuses to family or friends, which I don't think anybody is, they could be making excuses. Seeming anxious around their partner or afraid of their partner, being frequent bruises or injuries they lie about or can't explain, having limited access to money, credit cards, or a car, showing an extreme change in personality, getting frequent calls from the significant other checking up on them, having a partner who has a temper, is easily jealous or very possessive, and clothing that could be hiding bruises like long sleeve shirts in the summer. So we have to be very, you know, observing or trying to make sure you're trying to look and see if anything is going on. I'm sure that if it was, that if you had a friend, that you would know. But now, because of the pandemic, we're not seeing our friends. We're not going anywhere, seeing anybody. And I guess that might be why there's so much violence. I don't know. Anybody, if you have a comment that you would like to make or ask a question, just press the 1 on your phone. Mr. Coleman, what do you think about that?
Well, I think that... you know, when you're up close and personal and stuck in the house with somebody, you know, whatever's going on can definitely be escalated and elevated. You know, your wife can be getting on your nerves. Your kids can be getting on your nerves. Your husband can be getting on your nerves. You know, and ain't nowhere to go. You know, and if you're working from home, it ain't like you can leave and go to work, and it's not like the kids could be gone to school for 8 hours a day and then come home. Everybody's stuck under the same roof, so it can
all
definitely
day
be some
and
problems.
All night, huh?
Yeah. I mean, you know, your patience gets short. So, I'm sure with a whole lot of marriages, it's either brought people closer together or drove them further apart.
Yeah, I can see that.
So, you know, you can really tell if you like somebody or if you don't.
But, I mean, why would you want to hurt somebody?
I mean, if you're an abuser, you're an abuser. I mean, you know, hurt people. So, I mean...
Now, I can understand. If you say if you're an abuser, I can understand that. But what I mean, you just didn't have to wait until this time. You had to be doing it all the time.
Do you think? If it's in you, it's in you.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so, you know, it just may be on a different level now, you know, where you might have been, you know, whipping ass once a week, you know, you might get it 3 times a week now. you might be catching it 3 or 4 times a week. You say the wrong thing, you know, do the right turn, pow.
That's not funny. But, I mean... like you said, it could have been going on all the time. I really think it had to be. I don't see where all of a sudden, you know, just because you're staying in the house. I think, if I'm not mistaken, that divorces have gone up as well. People just decide.
Well, I mean, yeah, they've had it. I mean, you know, they don't want to deal with it. I mean, you know, you can, you know, because of the pandemic, you know, you had to quit your girlfriend or your boyfriend, so you can't see your side piece now.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, whatever outlet, you know, if you was going to the bar having a drink or hanging out, you know, you can't do that, you know. You can't bowl, you know. I used to be on a bowling league, so, I mean, I don't know. I'm not on one now, so I don't know if they're back to bowling or not. But there's a whole lot of things you can't do. So if you got to deal with the person you're in a relationship with or you're married to, you might not really like them right now, you know. So you might have been finding other ways to cope and get around it, you know. But maybe you can't pay the bills all by yourself. So, you know, you in it. Because at this point, it's a financial thing. But,
yeah,
you know,
that's true.
Somebody just getting on your nerves and, you know, you're tired of it. And so maybe it wasn't going on before, but now you don't, you know, there's no other outlet and you don't have any patience, you know.
Okay, well, we have a listener that wants to ask a question or make a comment. Hi, listener. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Tom Clark from Michigan.
Okay. Hey, Mr. Clark, how are you?
I'm doing great, doing great.
Okay, what do you think about this?
Well,
go ahead.
Like the other gentleman said, think about how many people basically are below poverty or they say cannot tap the, if they had a $400 bill added on to what they have, they won't be able to pay it.
That's
because
true.
That's stress, and all of a sudden, you have no job. And now you're at home, you have no job, because most of the jobs that pay $6, $7, and $8 an hour, you were barely getting by with those. So now you're stuck at home. You can't afford gas. You can't afford your house note. Can't afford your car note. Can't afford food, can't afford to send the kids out, can't afford to, you know, if you happen to have a dog, you might start looking at the dog strange. Or, you know, you may run away.
Are we going to eat the dog?
Hey, when time gets hard, people do some strange things.
Yeah,
you know, when you're under stress, sometimes you don't realize you're under stress. And, you know, stress and can really, really mess up your body in different ways.
That's true.
I remember I had a gentleman, I used to sell real estate back in the 90s and stuff, and I had this one gentleman, and I sold him a house in, I think, the Universal District, right? And I had everything set up, ready to go, you know, ready to close before Thanksgiving. And he goes up there to the mortgage people and start running his mouth and get everything changed around, right? So now we can't close because he went up there to tell him how much money he had that he really didn't have. Okay. So now I have to fix that mistake. And we were supposed to close before Thanksgiving. So that made the closing come after Thanksgiving, right? And that came after Thanksgiving, he had problems on the house because the house was leaking. You know, that he wanted to buy, so he had to get that fixed. So it ran into Christmas.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
Couldn't close at Christmas time because the other person was out of town. All of a sudden, you know, you can tell he was stressed, but all of a sudden, this guy was bleeding out of a cavity. He normally, that really, you know, they couldn't figure out what was wrong. I mean, he was using this, I hope this ain't a bad word. He used a box of women's tampons a week.
Oh, wow.
It was just that bad, right? So we were set to go before New Year's, and he asked the doctor, please, please, let me close on my house instead of, you know, put an asthenia you know, so I could close on my house. And then, I'll get an operation because they couldn't figure out what was wrong with it. The day we closed, an hour later, guess what? It stopped.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
See, so stress can hit you, and you don't even know it's there.
Oh, wow.
You do not realize it's there until something actually push you over what they call over the top. You know, so a lot of people can walk around with stress and really don't know they have it. And then a spouse got something, you know, minor, and they just blow up, you know. But they could be the most mildest person you ever met. But stress hits everybody different, and it makes people react different. And then, you know, think of all those pressures, and you were barely making it in the first place.
That's true. That's true.
You know, and when you can't get out, like, you know, I walk around the block 4 or 5 times in this pandemic, you know. And I got I have friends that say, you know, I'm tired of being in the house. Listen, I said, you're 67 years old. I think you should have enough good times in your mind that you can recall so you can, you know, you don't have to go crazy in the house.
Right.
Because, you know, suppose you're in another country, you have kids that don't go to school for 4 or 5 years because of a war and all that. You know, what would those people say? They would be happy to be locked in for just 1 year. You know, we got wars going on for 20 years. So the kids, when they were born, it was a war. You know, and it's
right.
That's cool.
You know, so I mean, sometimes what they say, you see, you need to kind of walk in someone else's shoes, or you know, you need to know the whole story, probably, which is something you may not never hear. You know, because like I said, people can be mild until they reach that point where, you know, they don't know why, but they just react.
Yeah, I agree with that. Maybe, like you said, they were that way all along, you know.
Well, I mean,
had it in
stress,
them.
They didn't have to have it in them. They did not have to have it in them. The first time stress hits, if you've never been stressed before, you have no idea what you'll do.
That's true.
You know, so especially if this is your first time, you know, and as soon as you thought y'all were, you know, was stepping out, with things were going good, this pandemic came and shut everything you had down. We have a guy that just built a restaurant up here on Conan, I think, right off of 8 Mile. The day he was supposed to open up is when they locked down stuff down.
Right.
Now, he ain't sold one hamburger. You know what I mean? No.
Wow.
You think he's going to go home? His wife takes up, and you think he's going to be a happy camper? I mean, not that she means to do it, but it's just situations.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, that could be really bad if they put all their money into it. You know what I'm saying? And then here comes the pandemic.
The bills are coming still?
Yes.
Right there.
Yes. They call everybody, and oh, my God. Mm-hmm. I don't even want to think about that.
Right. I mean, I'm blessed that I'm retired, you know, so at least I don't have to worry about that. But if you're a young person, like you said, you're just struggling, you got your business up, not ready to go, and bam, it hits you.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people are coping with stress. And not only that, but right now, from what I'm hearing from the news, is that they can't get anybody to work. They are looking for somebody to work for them. They can't find anybody to work. So they think it has something to do with the money that everybody is getting from the federal government.
I've encountered that. I went to Little Caesars last weekend to get a pizza, and you know, the young lady told me that they weren't taking any more orders. You know, they were behind. Two people had walked off the job that day.
Oh,
huh? So, you know, she took my order. I paid for the pizza, you know, and as I was waiting outside, there was another man that was, you know, waiting as well, and he said that he had gone to the Burger King, and they had to close because, you know, the workers there had walked off the job, and they didn't have enough people to even run the shift. So, I mean, it's like, really, is this stimulus money that these people are getting? And, I mean, I work in healthcare. So right now, the certified nurses assistants are in demand to the point where they're not showing up for work. They're not available. They're making excuses, you know, for coming in. I mean, it's crazy. And these are the people that, you know, are, for lack of a better word, you know, making minimum wage or less. That's, you
but
know,
the question
I mean,
is, can they afford to go to work there?
Just give you an instance.
Because if they can't afford to go to work there, say $8 an hour, and your house, you know, the average house note is what, $850? You know, you're gonna come home with $150, and you know, you look like that ain't covering my life bill.
Well, not to mention if you got small kids and daycare expenses, childcare. You know, childcare can run that every week.
Every week,
you know,
right?
Yeah, that could be a couple hundred every week. So, you know, it's a catch-22, and I guess some people are making more money at home right now.
Right. I mean, you would be, unless it's something, you know, that $600 over helped out a lot of people, but it really wasn't as much. Because think about it, there really wasn't that much. It was, well, I guess an unemployment it would be, but as far as the one-time, you know, stimulus stuff, I mean, what is $1,200 going to pay if you're 5 months behind on rent? You know?
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, people, you know, so like I said, people are trying to probably get ahead any way they can. But let me tell you this real quick short story. And it may deal with what you call stress. I was working at Chrysler, and you heard of robotics,
right?
Oh, yeah.
We had like 20 people from Mumford and from Southeastern, right? So we were there working on the cars and stuff. You know, what you got to be a robotic car, right? So I go to get something out of my car. And I come back, and these two guys are fighting, you know, and, you know, and so I get them broken up, you know, and I said, now what's going on? You know, I could get fired if my boss was to come down here and would have seen y'all doing that. And the guy said, well, he's talking about my mama. And I, you know, so I gave him one, the old standard thing, right? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but his words could never hurt me, right?
Right.
I thought that was a great one, right? So about a week later, I was walking and I ran into a guy that did the robotics the year before I got there. He said, Tommy, you don't understand. Said, what do you mean I don't understand? You got to understand, that boy watched his dad kill his mother, and
oh
now his
God.
Father's in jail for life. So when that guy said something about, you see what I mean? If you don't know that, that's true. You got to understand all parts of it.
He took that personal. Yeah.
Right. So, like I said, stress and what goes on in people's lives is unbelievable. I'm sorry. I'm set up now.
No. we're enjoying your conversation, but I can see how that would happen under those circumstances. And we need to be very careful about the things that we say when we're talking to people anyway, because you never know what kind of situation they're in, and that might be a reason why a lot of people are dead now, because if you have a gun that you can readily go and put your hand on it, then if somebody says something like that about your mom and your mom is dead, or let's talk about George Floyd. Mm-hmm. You know, that was down. That was just down and dirty. It was murder. It was murder. Because someone shared with me today that the cop's foot was not on the ground, which meant that if his foot was up, the foot that, you know, the leg that had was on mm-hmm. his neck, that means that all the pressure is on his neck. I mean, we don't know what was going through that officer's mind, but what it was wasn't good.
Well, he just showed that he knew that he was in control of the situation. He didn't realize it was going to turn like it turned. But, you know, as they asked him to check the guy's pulse, he still sat there like he's like king of the world, you know. And if you think about it, you know, Detroit hadn't been too far from stuff like that, you know, happening here, you know, about 10 or 15, 20 years ago. White cops just think, hey, they can do what they want to. You just gave them a license to, you know, I hate to say it, beat down brothers or whatever to show like they're a man so they could go back and start talking, you know, with their friends. And what goes on with their friends don't go on if there's a black person around. You'd be amazed at what they talk about.
Well, I don't know. So, I just
look
don't
at the
see it changing.
The guy's face.
Well, let's see who, what?
It's going to change.
Which way?
It's got to change.
I don't know.
Hopefully for the good. Well, you know what? That $27 million lawsuit that they won is going to make a lot of cities start thinking now. You see what I mean? When it gets too expensive for you to do it, Noah, you stop doing stuff. And that's
well, it hasn't stopped them yet. I mean, you know, a lot of these municipalities pay out a lot of money, you know, a lot of millions of dollars every year because they've got, you know, a crooked police force, you know. And so it has been said that, you know, once these insurance companies, you know, get tired of paying this money and these municipalities, you know, really start paying it, then maybe at that point it'll get their attention.
Right.
If the particular place is self-insured, then they'll feel it more than, you know, just paying a premium and then having the insurance company, you know, paying a settlement. But,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's what it's going to have to take. I mean, ultimately,
they said on TV this is the first time other police officers went against one of their own. You know, what's said, you know, they do it in darkness, and then they get behind the back, and then they, you know, when good old boys get together, you know, it becomes a different story. You remember that guy up in Flint? Was it about two to three years ago? They got beat up by those cops. He was just driving, I guess, to the wrong neighborhood, and they beat him down, you know, and then got, you know, tossed him in jail. And they showed where the police officers were, all the white police officers were in, I guess, maybe like the lobby, and they were laying, they were, you know, making fun of the guy. You know, he was begging for his life, and, you know, and blah, 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 among themselves. Now, they didn't realize that they were being recorded.
Well, yeah.
And once they found out they were recorded, you know, then it becomes a whole different story. But, you know.
But that's like the cops that beat up the black undercover agent and got acquitted, you know, because
mm-hmm.
they beat their own colleague up thinking he was just, you know, supporting Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can say anything. The actions is what causes, what shows it. If you really do believe what happened, Black Lives Matter.
Well, they should. All lives should matter.
All lives should matter.
Should matter. Yes. But, you know, I really think that it would help if the police were still supposed to live in their neighborhoods. I think it would be different if you lived in your neighborhood because you would know your neighbors. And I don't think you would do as much wrong if you lived next door to Mr. Jones. So I don't know. That's just me thinking.
Well, you know, they said, I don't know if it's true or not, so I'm going to make a statement. I'm going to, what they say, be covered because it may not be true. They said there were less, I guess it was maybe 5 or 10 years ago, when they tried to hire black cops, they couldn't get any or that many in Detroit that could pass a drug test.
Oh, God.
Yes,
I don't know how true that was or not, but I think I remember hearing them say that.
Yeah, but
I heard that
do
as
the
well.
Same. Yeah, but, you know, they do the same things.
Oh, well, it's no doubt.
It's just,
but
you know, white supremacy. Well, it's just like the Republicans. They have gone absolutely crazy. They don't care about their constituents and what they need in their states. All they're concerned with now is power. The power.
That's all they have. That's all they have left. You got to remember, in 15 years, they're going to be totally a minority. It may come faster than that.
And that's why they're raising so much sand now, because they know what's coming down the pike.
But you got to remember, these are, until the, I say, two more generations pass off, these are the old dudes who used to be with the Klan gear on all the time. Now they just wear suits.
Yeah.
And
so,
some,
you know,
of them,
until they
some of them wear, some of them wear the blue suits, too.
Sure.
They're cops.
Well, no matter where you go, I don't care what job you work in the United States, there's always going to be somebody that's white, that you are smarter than, or whatever, that's going to get, you know, going to get extra bonuses. I remember, DM, we had one guy, we complained about not having any black supervisors at this time. So they made this guy a black supervisor, and then the guy under him, they gave him like a 20% raise, which meant he made more than his boss did.
Wow. What,
why
a white
did
guy?
What,
the
white
guy made more than the black
boss? Yes.
He was white.
Okay.
Yeah, the guy that got from, he was white. Jumped right over.
Oh, yeah. They play tricks like that.
They'll pay them, but they won't pay us. You know, so like I said, you know. But that, you know, that's just the way of the world. You have to realize what's going on, and sometimes you have to make a call for you and your family. You know, do you take the jump or don't?
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
Sometimes it comes down to that. I mean, you know, it doesn't seem like there's any loyalty, you know, especially with these jobs, and you have to do what's right for you and your family, like you said.
Well, you know. Because, you know, I remember who I was talking to. You know, GM would rather lose, I think we spent about $25 million to get a defect fixed than let a black person present it.
Hmm.
We had, it was a vehicle that GM had, and we had every one engine we put in the car, we exchanged two. It was so bad.
Wow.
And a black guy named Lowe's came up with a greaseless bushing to go in there to stop the problem, get all the data through. But they said, well, if you let this, they didn't say white guy, but the guy was white. If you let him present it, we'll have to present it, but we'll give you credit for it. But he's got to present it. He says,
right.
No, I came up with this. Why should, you know, why can't I present my own stuff? You know, and after about, I think, $24 or $30 million, they finally said, oh, okay, you can present it. But, I mean, look at how much money they wasted, all because they don't want to have a black person present a fix.
Yeah, well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, companies would rather throw away money than do what's necessary to do if a black person is somewhere in the midst there.
Hmm.
So,
well.
But, like, and you talk about stress. I mean, think about it. You got stress at home, stress at work. Oh, gosh. I'm so happy I live alone.
Yeah. Dang, got nobody to abuse you and nobody for you to abuse, huh?
Wait a minute.
All you gotta do is push the button for the TV.
You don't get mad with yourself.
Nope. I tell people I love nothing, like I said. There's enough people down on black people already for us to be down on ourselves.
That's true. I agree.
Because we don't have the time. We really don't have the time to be down on ourselves. There's enough people out there trying to put us down as it is. So,
you got that right.
These mass shootings are starting to pick up, you know, starting to kill, go to Walmart and shoot a bunch of innocent people.
But who are the people that...
Was that that NFL person?
What's that again?
Well,
he
killed a doctor, the doctor's wife, and the two grandkids.
Oh,
was that
my
a black
God.
Guy?
Yeah, he was a black guy.
Was that a black guy? Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Was he the NFL guy?
Yeah.
Oh,
he killed the kids? Oh, my gosh.
Nine and 5 years old. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
He was 95 years old?
No, he said
no,
the children.
He killed
5 years old. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, he had that thing that, what was that football player that they had somebody shot, you found out his brain, there was some kind of thing on his brain about 5 years ago. He had some.
Aaron Hernandez?
Yes.
Was it Hernandez?
Yes, you remember? Right. Remember when they said after he died, they cut open, and took X-rays of his brain, and they found out. I don't know what they call it, but it's some kind of injury.
CTE.
CTE.
Yeah, CTE. When you have a number of concussions.
Right.
It's CTE. Encephalopathy. I can't remember what the CT stands for. Cerebral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there were a couple other, football players that they said, they had it, but just to a certain extent. And they said that could throw your person off as well. So, but, we all used to always say black people don't normally kill kids, But I guess we kind of imitate them so well. I guess we just,
Well, that's like the black guy that went to the Capitol and ran over two police officers and killed one. I was wondering what was going on when they said they had killed the guy, when he got out of the car with the knife. I said, when did they start killing white people with knives? And then, they showed he was black. I said, oh, okay, no wonder. They didn't, because had he been white, he'd still been living.
They would have gave him a glass of water.
Right.
Yeah, and some Burger King, right.
Yeah, let's stop, Well, like I said, you're treated differently. I mean, It's I remember once when I was working out at the Proving Ground, I was coming home and I stayed along the west side by Myers, right? So I come down Schaefer and I turned on Finkel. And when I was turning on Finkel, I saw a cop car, you know, maybe about, you know, 5 or 6 half blocks coming down Finkel, right? So, you know, I'm driving, got my little Cadillac, you know, driving. And some say, Tommy, look, watch your speed. So I watched my speed, and when I turned in my street, they came flying right behind me, right? So I go and I pull up in my driveway because I didn't want to be stopped out there on the street. That way somebody can see. So when they got out of the car, it was coming up to me. So I started ringing the doorbell, right? And if my wife hadn't opened that door, these two white cops are going to beat the heck out of me. Just so happened, when they got them on both sides of me, she opened the door and says, "What? What's going on out there?" Then they stepped back. I found out the next day my neighbor across the street said, "Ooh, those guys are getting ready to beat your butt. You realize that?" I said, "Yeah, I'm praying that lady opened that door."
But what did
but
you
that
do?
Was the only thing, huh?
What did you do?
Well, I run once there's light put on something, you know, whatever they have to do, they didn't have to do it in front of my wife. But see,
no,
if she
I
didn't
said,
come
why,
to the door,
why did they stop? What did you do?
Oh, they said that they had been following me for like 3 miles and I was speeding. I'm like, I saw you coming down when I turned off under Finkel, off Schaefer. Oh, well, we've been following you for 3 miles. You didn't follow me no 3 miles. but what could I have done? You know, if she didn't open the door, she's sleeping sound. I might have been one less brother around here, probably.
Man, you ain't have a key to your own house?
Yes.
You know, he didn't have time to struggle to find a key. He wanted someone
else
to
see. I just want that door to open, you know.
Right.
So that way I knew, you know, if there at least would be one witness, whatever happens to me, you know. But
right.
I know these two white cops, I know they were just grinning because I was actually about 1 o'clock in the morning because I was working midnight. It took me an hour to get from, you know, out of the Proving Ground home. So, you know, but I'm saying, you know.
They said we probably ain't beat up nobody, and it's almost shift is over. So let's catch him.
Okay. Well, we need at least one, right?
Right.
Well, that might have been your that might have been your retirement money you gave up right there. You might have been able to get a few million.
Yeah, but who want to take the chance?
Right. At least your wife would have been able to spend it with a new husband. Huh?
I'd have to come back and haunt so many people. It'd be a show.
That's what you call domestic abuse. What? Abuse, right.
Yeah, but like, you know, it's the way of the world. But
you're right.
One thing I like to say, you know, for people who have kids, please stop downing them for everything they do, you know. Because the whole world is already against that.
That's
when if
true.
They go home and the parent, you know, and the parents, you know, some of the language I be hearing, and I be like, man, you know, and the kids only be 5 or 6, and they be getting all these names and stuff. I mean, if home talks about you, when you go to school, they talk about you. When you go to work, they talk about you. I mean, where's the break for the kids?
Yeah, you're right. I've heard people cuss out kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, that.
I'm talking about toddlers, right. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
No, I guess
remember,
you really don't like their daddy.
Remember when this guy was in the store and the little boy was walking behind him and he pushed him down and then kicked him? And what hurt my heart so bad was that the little baby got up and still followed him.
Well, he has to. He knows nothing else.
I know, but it was, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. That just hurt my heart to see that child abused. But see, what he didn't know was he was on tape.
On camera. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. He was in the store. Uh-huh.
Well, like I said, people never think, especially like they said, people that cuss all the time, it's normally because they're limited vocabulary, because they can't figure out anything else to say. You know, so you got
to
be.
Well, I think sometimes they just want to hurt you to the best of their ability.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
So what you're saying, cursing?
Huh?
So, no, I was asking Mr. Coleman, you mean that they're cussing them out because that's the best they could do to hurt them?
Some instances, I think, you know, that's just some people talk.
I know. And do you know these children are coming up cussing too?
Of course.
Oh, of course. Right.
The parents got the nerve to get mad because they were cussing. How could you get mad at the kid for cussing? And he's saying what you say every day. Because it can't be wrong because mom and daddy said it, right?
Yeah, well, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, who loves you more than anybody? Well, who's supposed to love you more than anybody?
Your mom
and your
mama.
Daughter, right? Right. They're supposed to love you more than anybody. But, you know, I had a friend, and I was over her house, and she called her son over. I guess she was like 3 or 4. He said, say what you said today. And the boy just started cussing, and she just started laughing.
Yeah, see, that's
the
problem.
What happens when
that's
you go to school and say that word?
And
you
he's going
to
get kicked out.
You're setting him up to fail.
Yep. Yeah,
you're setting him up to fail.
I was looking at. I was looking at my neighbor's little boy one day. I came home. I said, "Why is he home? What happened?" He said he got kicked out of kindergarten. I said, "Why?" He was cursing. So I didn't say anything else because I know he had to have gotten it probably from him. So,
right.
You know, I couldn't say anything. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
well, like I said, the young generation thinks nothing about that. They just, you know, they just do it, you know, because no one ever taught them any different.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate.
But I would say, when you see a black kid trying to do something, give him his props. Give him a little bit over the props if you can. Because, like I said, sometimes, like I always say that, kids are born equal, but parents are not.
Okay, let me figure that one out.
Well, kids come with a clean slate, right?
Yeah, they do.
Okay, but what about their parents? Your parents determine the rest of your life.
Well, they may not have come, you know what I'm saying? They may have been brought up cursing.
Yeah, it's a whole lot of parents messing up kids, boy, for real. It's a whole lot of parents messing up kids.
You know what's one of the biggest ones? They come to school smelling like weed.
Well,
you know?
maybe they sat down with mama and everybody smoked.
But that's
stuff passed.
Yeah, but you got to realize, you know, the kid is now marked, but they say, hey, he come here smell like weed, so you know what his parents do. And people, you know, all kinds of thoughts go into people. You know, because, you know, I was at church one day, came in there. He was in my class. I think that was like 14 or 15. But I had to open the door. The weed was so strong.
Oh, wow.
I don't think he smoked, but it was so, you know, it was so
right.
Much.
Okay, wow.
You know what I mean?
In Sunday school.
But I'm saying, the kid may not have did nothing but get a ride from his parents to church.
Right, wow.
You know. So, you know, but like I said, you know, we just think weed is just a thing because somebody in my family was messing with it, and I had to kick them out of the house. Because I couldn't go to General Motors in the morning, you know, to the tech center proving ground smelling like weed.
You know? You're right about that.
Hey, so
you'd be waiting for a stimulus check.
So who you telling? He thought I was kidding. I had this though, packed and ready to go. No, not me. But I don't smell nothing. Hey, they say after 2 minutes, your body, your nose automatically adjusts so you can't smell. It becomes like a normal thing to you.
Right.
But I can see me now walking in there, all the white people. I'm the only black person in there now. So can you imagine? Probably before I sit down. Oh, the white brother want to talk to you. But for what? Come just smell like weed.
That's cool.
Yeah. But
we'll just
stress as we put on ourselves, I guess.
Yeah, well, a lot of people smoke it to get the stress off. I guess that's what they say. I mean, we got so many of those doggone shops. Every other door on 8 Mile is a weed shop. I mean, they got cookies and brownies and whatever.
But you know what? What's his name? Said our mayor. He said that from now on, 75% of the weed distribution things have got to be in the city of Detroit.
Yeah, they've got a lawsuit. They had to put that on pause. They said that's unconstitutional.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, I saw that on the news yesterday.
What
people
they
from,
should not have done.
They've got
they
the
should,
legacy.
Mm-hmm.
They should never, ever, ever have put that on the ballot. Everybody should have known what was going to happen. So, you know, I mean, those people are thriving through a pandemic. They're not looking for people. They're not looking for people to work. They're turning people away. So, I don't know.
Those are the things that happen, you know, when you're desperate and, you know, can't do whatever, you know, people turn to different things, you know. But like I've always been the type of person, I've always wanted to be in control no matter what, you know, where I am.
Yeah.
You know.
Me
so
too.
I take my 4 hours to drink my one little beer. And
say your one little beer, huh?
My one little beer.
You rationing.
My son gave me a six-pack for my birthday in September, and I still got 5 of them left.
What?
Wow. Wow.
Okay, well, I mean, you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is. I've always wanted to always be in control of myself, no matter
you
know, what goes on.
That's me,
know,
too.
So.
That's me, too. I don't, you know, I don't want to get drunk and don't know what I'm doing. And, no.
Mm-hmm.
Always have to know what's going on. Yeah. So,
okay,
Mr. Tommy.
I'm sorry to talk to y'all so much today. I apologize.
No, not at all. Mr. Tommy, I appreciate you calling, and
I appreciate
the good discussion
okay.
that you had with us. And thank you, and call back again. Don't forget us.
Oh, I will, definitely.
Okay, thank you so much. And with that being said, we're going to go to a break. This is the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show.
My name is Sheila White. I am the president and co-founder of Her Cries Are Heard, an organization that focuses on preventing violence against females. One in three women have been victims of physical abuse or violence by an intimate partner or non-partner within their lifetime. 94% of women killed by men were murdered by someone they knew. Violence can affect a woman's physical and mental health and also negatively affect her children. In 1991, my sister was murdered by her husband. And in 2013, my niece was murdered by a man who followed her home from a party. Being a victim of violence is devastating to the victim and the victim's family. Help us to help you. Help us to prevent this from happening to you or someone you love. Get our website, www.hercriesareheard.org, for the prevention tools and referrals to help save lives.
As an author, you understand the devastation of someone plagiarizing your work. But what if someone stole your identity? Protect yourself and your family with Identity Theft Protection. Services include credit monitoring, credit reports and scores from all three credit bureaus, social security number, emails, credit cards, bank account monitoring, and social media monitoring from Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. For more information, call 248-525-7680.
Edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction. Speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
And we're back to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Yes, and we are back to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. We're talking tonight about the stress and the domestic violence during the COVID-19 pandemic. It's really, really hard to kind of hold yourself together if you have lost a job and if you don't have any money and if you're losing your home. So sometimes you might go off on the other people that are in your house. You should have to know how to kind of control yourself or go out alone. I think that would be a good thing to do, and just kind of talk to God or talk to yourself, you know, other than trying to take your bad luck out on other people who haven't done anything to you, especially the kids. So, you know, there is something you can do. You can call people and see if you can get appointment to go and talk to someone, or just maybe a friend. Maybe a friend that you know that won't just tell everything. Maybe you can talk to someone like that. Or if you are a churchgoer, maybe you can speak with your pastor or one of the mothers of the church. There's always something that you can do other than taking out your grievances on everybody else, especially the children. There are a lot of children, from what I understand, that are not doing any kind of schoolwork. They've lost an entire year. Now, you think you feel bad, those kids will feel bad too, because they are behind. So we should find someone maybe that we can talk to, so we don't have to take a lot of things out on other people. Because sometimes you end up on the short end of the gun. So, you know, just be careful. Just be careful. So I have my guests, and if anyone would like to make a statement, they can push the button, push number one, and give us a comment. What do you think about the domestic violence? Do you think it was going on all the time and the COVID-19 pandemic just brought it out? What do you think? What do you think, Mr. Coleman?
Well, I think that this pandemic has done a whole lot of things. It's, you know, it's created opportunities as far as business is concerned. In certain aspects, and it has been challenging in regards to children's education. Like you said, there's been a whole group of children that have just checked out.
Yes,
you know that.
That's unfortunate. Golly.
And so these are just trying times that we're living in, and you know, we just have to work to get through it.
We can do that. We can do that.
Well,
oh,
we don't have a choice.
We got another listener. Hi, listener. How you doing? You got a conversation you want to have with us?
Hello.
Miss Lucy, yes.
You know what? It's within, especially for our community, there's always some type of pressure anyway, regardless of the pandemic, regardless of everything, because it's just the fact that we live in our community. There's so much going on in the first place. The pandemic added more to it. And then people started losing their jobs. They started losing their families. People started dropping dead. You don't know, you know, any of the facts of you. You know, a lot of times parents, you know, you might lose a parent or a child or whatever. All of this is going on, and you have no, it feels like you've lost all control. And so then you start showing your frustrations and your problems, you know, taking it out on other people and on yourself as well, because you feel like you're a big failure. You lose your job. You know, things are just going on, and maybe there's been some strain between the husband and wife. And now you have to be locked up in the house with each other. And it seems like you start blaming one another for what's going on. Maybe there's a lack of income. You can't pay the bills. You can't do this. You can't do that. There is a big strain there. And you have to go out and people give you food. Well, okay, you get some food, you know, because people are giving, okay? But maybe it's the type of food that you really don't want to eat. You have to, you know. But things are just not going your way. And you have no control over it. It's the feeling of a lack of control in so many areas that you feel that's important. So then you look at one another and you started blaming one another, you know, blaming one another, taking it out on each other. And we have that already. That it's that that feeling that permeates our community in the first place because of what we have to daily face up to on a regular basis. And now the pandemic has added more. You just don't know. You hear this friend gone, and over here this is happening, and maybe over here and over here, you know, all of this. And you don't know, like I say, where death is, you know, and you feel just helpless. It's a helpless feeling that keeps gnawing at you. It's just so much drama going on. We had drama already, but it's been added on and on and on and on and on, you know. And it seems like you just can't get a handle on anything. And so, and then you start, like, you want to kick the dog, you know, beat up on the cat, you know. Start screaming, you know. That was going on, but it wasn't as high as it is now, you know, and things like that. And then you feel like you need a break. So maybe with the little resources you have, you take that and get yourself a break, never mind anyone else. Instead of pulling together as a family and saying, okay, this is what we're faced with. We're going to trust God for that, you know. I know my sister, she has prayer and Bible study every day with her grandchildren. She tries to cut off the news, cut off everything, and they try to talk about the things of the scriptures to try to bring some positive feelings into the community, into her home. You have to a lot of times cut out everything else. Maybe you are facing all, we are facing all of this, but you still have to have some sphere of hope. And that's when people turn to the Bible, you know, to what, that, you know, this is just something we have to go through with. But we're still going to make it out of here. You'll make it out.
Yeah,
do the things that are necessary. No, do the things that are necessary. Because we have drama in our community all the time. All the time. And while I was listening, they were talking about how the suicide rate is gone up among the kids because they're 10 years old, because they're not used to being in the house. They want to be around their friends and their family, you know, all of this. And things are just not happening, you know, the way that they want. And they feel lost. They can't articulate it. And they feel the frustration and the pressure. And, you know, what they get sick of looking at television. Can you believe it? You know, it's just a problem. We have to show them how to get through hard times as a family and as a person. As a person. And that's just it. You know, you have to find some type of medium within yourself, you know, to get together. To get together and to talk about things. To talk about this. Talk about that. I was listening to Minister Mike Moore, and he's talking about the racism and all of this, and he was saying how, and it was interesting to hear him talk. He's got that faith dome, a faith chapel, I think down in Tennessee or Alabama, one of them. And he was talking about how when he first got married, you know, he and his wife, and he said then finally they started having problems. They started having serious problems, and sometimes she didn't want him to come home, and he didn't want to go home, and, you know, it's the time that you're trying to get settled. He said, we said things to each other that maybe we shouldn't have said, and it wasn't always nice. And all of this is going on, you know, with the strain or the thing. He said, there was one thing we always would do. We would talk. We would talk. We would talk. A lot of times we said things that weren't nice, but we would talk. We kept talking. You have to keep talking. Once you stop talking, that's it. You have to continue to talk. To verbalize, to talk, until you found out where each one's button was, so you know not to push that kind of button. He said, but now he considers his wife his best friend, all of this. You know, well, it's hitting everybody. It's hitting the churches. It's hitting everyone. Everybody is strained within our community. We already had a problem, but now they're even more strained, you know. And so, but you have to talk. You have to talk. I know even for myself, being in this senior citizen by myself, I have to talk to myself so that I won't feel like I'm just tucked away in a tomb waiting to be put into a tomb. It's a feeling, you know, as an elderly person, you know. You don't know what, you know, you get a cough or something. You say, you wonder, has it got me? You know, it's crazy. But you have to talk. You have to talk. You have to read. You write. You do this. You do things that let yourself know that you're still in this world. And you're going to make it, but you have to talk. Maybe that's what God wants you to do. You have to talk things out so that when you do come out and you look with hope to come out of this in a more positive sense. Negative rent is not right, you know. But they've been giving the stimulus is out and stuff, and all of this. But then they were saying that people are not paying the rent, you know, when they get it, you know. Man said, they don't pay the rent. I can't pay the bills. You know, all of this is going on back and forth, you know. But you have to talk. A lot of times you have to talk to yourself. Ask yourself questions. Write down what you hope to accomplish, even as an elderly person, to come out of this whole the pandemic, everything. You have to continue to talk. Talk, you know, and you may have health problems. You still continue to talk about what you want to do and give yourself a future hope. And that's what I would like to say. You have to talk. I try to call my kids, you know, my sons. Why don't y'all call me and say something to me? You know, I'm here and all that. They're busy with their lives, okay? You can't presume upon them. Everybody has their life. Sure, I might have raised them and all of this, and I miss my grandchildren, and they keep calling. They want this, 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 and so, you know, but you still have to come to know that your life is still valuable, even in this pandemic, even what you're faced with. Talk to yourself. Talk. Self-talk is a man. Talk positively to yourself. You have to talk. And that's what I wanted to say tonight, Happens Anyway program. You talk. Keep talking. Sometimes I wake up at night, my whole schedule is off. You know,
and you
I get
start
up my
talking
right.
To yourself.
You know. Oh, yeah, I talk.
In the middle
you
of
know.
The night. But I think that's very good advice. I really do.
You
think
have
that.
To do something, yeah. There's nothing wrong with self-talk. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with that. We have to learn to get through things. And you're going to make it out. We're going to come out of this. Give yourself hope and courage.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted to say tonight, anyway. And
well,
thanks to our co-host.
I appreciate that. What do you think, Mr. Coleman?
Well, you know, I would have to agree with that. And, you know, I think that we just have to do better. You know, we just have to continue to try harder. But I think we'll ultimately get it together.
I think this is the time to get it together. So when you come out, you have something. This one saw Bishop Jakes, I know he was saying, he told his congregation, he said, you know something, I'm going to think I'm crazy. He said, but I talk out loud. I holler and say, the devil use a lie, use a lie. Now you know, you know, you're fighting. It's a good fight to have faith, you know. You're lying. I disagree with that. I'm making it anyway, you know, to give yourself courage. I'm going to make it. In fact, I have made it. I'm just waiting for it to materialize. I have made it. I have done this. It's together. Never mind, I don't need this, you know. All of this. And you use what you have. You know, you use what you have. A lot of people that was in those concentration camps, they talked about how they were, you know, the jails and stuff, they were locked away. The thing that helped them halfway keep their mind together was to, one woman said she wanted a beautiful home. So in her mind, she used her mind to decorate the house that she wanted to. And when she got out of all this, she was going to buy a house, find some way to buy her own home and decorate it in her mind the way she wanted it. And she did that. You've got, your mind brings you out. Your mind is that creative resource that brings you out of something, that gives you a hope and makes you know you have a future. It's your mind. You have to learn to use your mind. And when you don't see anything, you use your mind. What do you want to accomplish in your life? What do you want? Nobody can take away your mind. You have to keep that. You have to fight for it. I know a lot of senior citizens are having a lot of problems, you know. They're having an awful lot of problems. An awful lot of problems. But I praise the Lord that he has, you know, that we do have something to work with. You might not see it, but it's still there. And that's all I wanted to say. Thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And, Mr. Coleman, I think you said what you needed to say, if I'm not wrong.
No, I think, you know, we just need to come out of this pandemic better than when we went in. You know, I think this is the time for us to get closer to our spiritual maker. And like Lucy said, you know, it's in our minds. You know, we have to be able to control our minds. And I think with that, we can come out and be better people.
Okay, very good. Well, folks, I think that if you start feeling stress, I was reading that they're saying create a morning routine, you know, get up at the same time and eat a healthy breakfast and check in with your loved ones regularly and consider ways to help others. You can pick up groceries for a neighbor and leave them at their door, donating to a charity or doing something for someone else, and then have a daily self-care ritual. Do something for yourself. Limit the news, because if you continue to listen to the news, you really go down in the dumps. And set boundaries around your social media. You may not think it's having an effect on you, but it is. And meditate. Meditation can help restore your sense of control. As you focus on your breath or a positive word or phrase, meditation can help you activate your nervous system. And that's an antidote for fear. So those are some of the things that they have that maybe you can do other than taking all your stress out on someone else. And before I say good night, what I want to say is if it won't matter in 5 years what's going on now, don't spend more than 5 minutes worrying about it now. If you don't think it'll matter in 5 years, don't spend more than 5 minutes worrying about it now. So having said that, I'm thanking you for participating in the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. We've had a good night. And I think we kind of sort of learned something or picked up something that we might be able to use. And I have a listener coming on now. Okay, listener, real quick, what is your ending statement?
Well, I wanted to find out if you had done a study or seen a study in which there was more domestic violence as a direct result of the lockdown.
Have I read it?
Yeah.
Is that what you're asking? No, I have not.
Oh, because I thought that might be the thrust of your show tonight, because you were talking about, in your headline, about domestic violence during the pandemic.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. But tonight, we're closing the show right now. I thank you for participating, though. Just come a little early next time.
Did you talk about domestic violence?
Yes, we did. Yes.
Okay. But you didn't read.
Next time, can you come on earlier so we can hear your comment? Do that for me. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Tonight is gone. We hope everybody will be okay and took something for what has been said. And good evening. Have a great weekend. Be careful and think about it. When you start getting stressed, think about it and calm down. And good night. This is the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show.